loving every day. That's the prayer that a country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way.
On a beautiful Arizona Saturday morning, we're live at Scottsdale's West World for the Get Outdoors Expo. Join with us this hour, Scott Lavin of Arizona Game and Fish, the Wildlife Branch, Chief. You're looking through your events calendar. What do we have coming up next?
I have to go to like 15 different pages to find everything here. We've got a lot of different things going on. So, you mentioned earlier the Hummingbird Festival. Apparently, that's your favorite.
Oh, man. That's my favorite part of the state, I'll tell you.
It is. It's up in Sipe, and that's going to be near the end of July here. And every year we do this. It's one of the Arizona Game and Fish properties in Sipe, Arizona. It's just a beautiful place.
Sipe.
Yeah.
Where is Sipe for somebody that doesn't?
Right outside of Springerville and Eager. You can get up there. Folks, if y'all want to get up to that event, it's a fabulous event. And go ahead and book your room at Tawiwi Lodge in Nutrioso or Sportsman's Lodge or Mountain High Lodge and get in there and see the little town of Nutrioso. Absolutely one of my favorite corners of the state. Also some great rooms in the Springerville area. But if you go up for that event, make it a weekend event.
Yeah, I would recommend. Well, it's if you're in Phoenix, it's a bit of a drive, so you might as well.
That's what I really like about that area. I don't get there much because it is a drive, but when you get there, it's one of the most secluded parts left in the West. You're 5 hours to Phoenix, 5 hours to Tucson, 5 hours to Albuquerque.
That's right.
You know,
and up until 2 years ago, they didn't even have a cell signal. Then they put up that stupid tower.
Well, we need to take that down. But that whole, I think they call it the Blue and Hannigan's Meadow.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there is people there, but a major town, you're 5 hours from any direction. What is Springerville, like 15,000, maybe not even that many?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe not even that many.
Springerville, Eager combined. Yeah,
it's nice small town America. It really is. And you've got this Hummingbird Festival all day where you can capture hummingbirds and band them and learn about hummingbird biology.
And I'll tell you what else. If you go up there for that event and you do have quads and the family likes quads, the White Mountain Quad Club has put together a trail system up there that is absolutely fabulous. And I mean, it covers a huge area. But we've taken my daughter up there, and I mean, we just ride for hours. Yeah. So just a great weekend up there.
And don't forget, there's some really good fishing up there,
and,
too.
And some good fishing. You know. And we've got the new leopard trout y'all are stocking up there in those lakes
as well,
aren't you?
Absolutely. No, that's been a I haven't had the opportunity to go after one of those. They're sounding like a lot of fun. So I would say that's the thing I get to do least is fishing. Whenever somebody gives me a call, I don't need much of a nudge. And that's definitely on my list to try and go after.
And they do a great job at those fishing locations and the camping areas in that White Mountain of keeping the roads graded so you don't need to have a four-wheel drive vehicle. I mean, you've spent hours on these dirt roads and never need any kind of high-clearance four-wheel drive. The road maintenance up there is quite impressive considering how much time they're spent under snow.
In a lot of those destinations, we're actively stocking fish. So, to your point, the roads can't, we got to be able to get to the, body of water in order to stock it. And I just saw a presentation. We stock an amazing a poundage, like something ridiculous, like 600,000 pounds of fish a year. So not not only do we stock the local community lakes in your own neighborhood, but we do stock some of the high mountain areas as well.
Okay. We're here with Scott Lavin, the Wildlife Recreation Branch Chief of Arizona Game and Fish. We've talked about the bat netting family evenings. We've talked about the bighorn sheep floats at Roosevelt Canyon and Colorado River.
Yeah.
We've talked about, we were going to talk about, this is one that doesn't particularly appeal to me, but night scorpion and snake finding adventures.
The next one of those is going to come up on August 5th in Phoenix. There's another nighttime event. They call it the night hike. And another thing that I my team just thought of, it's out of the box, but again, the public just has such a fascination. There's been a huge demand. We go out and we spotlight scorpions. And in case you don't know, if you have a black light flashlight, you shine it on a scorpion, that thing glows in the dark like a beacon. You can't miss it. And then while we're out there, we're going to look for some snakes on. And my program manager, Randy Babb, is an incredible herpetologist. He's You know, no, he's forgotten more about snakes than the three of us will ever know. So, you know.
And he can have that job. I'm okay with that.
And he does love that job. He travels all over the world with this job. But, yeah, we go around and we look for to find out what snakes are doing at night and educate the public. You know, some people are overly afraid of snakes. And my wife is one of them. She's just, you know, when we go camping, I have to inspect everything before she'll take a step because if she's, and they're really not that bad. You know, most snakes don't want anything to do with us. We make a lot of noise. They feel us coming, so they kind of get out of our way. You got to kind of just be very unaware to put yourself in a situation with a snake.
I think what gets most people with snakes is they're always where you don't expect them. You know, you can see a lot of other animals coming from a long way, but yeah, there's nothing that'll make your heart stop faster than the sound of a rattle,
man,
underneath your ankles.
Oh, man.
And we've all been there, but, you know, and obviously you've been there and I've been there and I haven't been bit. I'm not sure if you've been bit, but, you know, wherever they are, they're minding their own business and they just want to be left alone. And all they're doing is either, you know, just, you know, going through their day, looking for food, you know, securing their home and so forth.
They see the size of your leg and know they can't swallow it.
and that's really the thing. If, you know, the only time, you know, like if you're in another continent where they have really, really big snakes, you might have to really worry about this. But a snake really is only going to go after a food source. So if he bites us, it's because, you know, we've accidentally encroached and made him feel threatened and that there's no other resource but to, you know, fight rather than flee. So, but that's really, you know, we've been doing these things for 2 years now. We've never had anybody get bit because, you know, we've got our professionals there shown around. You want to be the first, I'm sure.
Night hikes. Again, you can go to azgf.com.
AZGFD, yeah.
And there's a big event tab right there on the homepage.
Yeah, you hit the tab for wildlife.
Okay.
And then there'll be a list of a menu that where you can click for upcoming events. And right now we're scheduled out until September. And again, because we're in the dead of summer, most of our events, except for the bighorn sheep viewings, are going to be at night. And then as the weather, or except, you know, in the case of Sipe, where we're up, you know, what is that, about 6,000 feet elevation? It's it's a lot more tolerable at Sipe. But then as we get into the colder weather, we'll move into other viewing opportunities for more ground-based wildlife and bird watching.
Well, we talked to Amy, and that's Region 5 or Region 6 with the black-footed ferret. And we had her on about a year ago, and she invited everybody to come up, and I guess they had a spectacular turnout for the black-footed ferret night spotting event. And we had listeners take their grandchildren up there, and that sounds like a fun event.
You know, before I worked here, I had no idea we did what we did, but things like ferrets and prairie dogs, we build these habit trails underground, basically, to create good environments for these wildlife to flourish in. And Amy does. She does do a great job. And like I said, she's doing a bighorn sheep cruise this weekend as well. So we've got a lot of things going on in the state. But there's great opportunities all over the state if you want to see wildlife in their habitat. Also, the department's going digital. This year, we launched a couple live webcams for wildlife. We have the Sandhill Crane Cam set up down in Tucson.
That's a cool one. It's a noisy one.
You know what? So you know, I've got these guys who are biologists, and they've researched and built these solar-powered, freestanding, digital wireless arrays. We've got, like, something that looks like it belongs on a space shuttle set up in the middle of this wildlife area viewing cranes, and we could not believe the interest. We have people viewing cranes from all over the world. There's a small town in England that has almost 100% of the town watching it. I guess they take cranes very seriously.
Wow.
There. And then, of course, we launched the Peregrine Cam this year, which was very successful. We had over 713,000 downloads from 38 countries and 36 states. So it
tell the story of that camera.
You know, that was quite a journey for us. And again, these were our first efforts. So we launched there's a nesting box on a building downtown Phoenix. And, you know, it's something that the department has been keeping its eye on. And there was an old kind of antiquated video camera there. We invested some money. We put in the infrastructure to do this, you know, digital quality camera. And we were fortunate enough to have a nesting pair because it's, you know, they either like the property or they don't.
Right,
they either
right,
choose
yeah.
it or they don't. But a male and female, you know, they bred, they had, I think, four eggs. And for whatever reason, the eggs didn't hatch except for one. And you know, birth in natural wildlife, there is a high mortality rate.
Yes.
That's Mother Nature, yep, making sure that only the fit survive. But one chick did hatch. And that just captured the, you know, I think the egg was laid on Mother's Day and it hatched on Easter. So I think there was some calendar coincidence there that added to the buzz. You know, eventually the chick unfortunately did not make it. He wound up falling out of the nest, which again does happen, and ultimately didn't make it. But it really captured the hearts and minds of Arizona.
What type of bird again?
This was a peregrine falcon. And like I said, just, you know, we're going to have some of those species here today. Birds of prey are just amazing.
They are.
They're really phenomenal to watch. And, you know, we were a little worried because, you know, let's face it, they're not going to Safeway to go get dinner. You know, they're bringing home something that they literally picked up, and they're bringing that carcass. And the, you know, we warned the public, you know, this isn't going to be pleasant to watch. This is Mother Nature.
This is reality TV.
People were digging. I mean, you've got the peregrine bringing home a dove that obviously it just grabbed out of the air, and they're picking at it and feeding the chick and all. It was just amazing to watch. There were people literally watching, you know, I don't think any work got done in that building because the whole building's employees were watching online.
Right.
I had an owl that took residence in the attic while I was building my home. And I'd be up there working, and I'd find remains of his dinner from from different days. It was, what is that smell? I guess that owl's been back here last night again eating.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're amazing animals.
I got some great pictures of him, too, because when he'd fly and he'd spread his wings. I mean, they don't look like that big, but just when you see that wing spread come out and the way they just can kind of glide and kind of effortlessly just float away and stay just at their comfort level away from you, and you get closer to get some better pictures, and they just kind of drift to the next swirl. Well,
and they're really unique because they do what they do at night, so that makes them even, you know, marvelous to fish. And, you know, the most of the peregrines and the eagles and all, they all hunt by day. The owls are, you know, they prey on anything because most things don't even see them coming.
Here with Rosie on the House, broadcasting live from the Westworld Arena in Scottsdale. It's completely indoor. It's completely air-conditioned. And we're here for the Wildlife Expo. And if you've got some time to get down here today or tomorrow, gates open at 10 today, open at 10 tomorrow. We're open till 6 tonight. We're open till 4 tomorrow. It's $15 a head. 12 and under are free. Military and first responders are also free as well with ID. We're going to have professional fishermen out here showing tips on bait and casting and the different types of rods and reels. We've got every kind of RV you could possibly imagine out here on the floor. Every kind of, how many boats do you think are out here? We've got tons of boats. We've got Arizona Game and Fish with all their educational department over here. Like Scott says, we're going to have some live wildlife here in a little bit. And then we've got the archery range down here to teach the kids archery. We've got all the bows set up. We've got a range master. We've got a safety officer there. Come down. If the kids have never tried it, I'll tell you, it's one of the sports. I've got 6 kids. I've got 11 grandkids. And I think the only one that hasn't pulled a bow so far is your baby Landry. And what's she, a year and a half?
She's 2, but she shoots at our house.
Okay, so she has.
She'll come, you know, grab the string and pull it back. It's one of those things that, you know, I don't like to leave stuff out in the sun for obvious reasons. But if we're outside doing chores and I just set the bow out, I mean, it gets used.
All the kids pick it up. Yeah, archery's been a very fun activity for all of our kids and grandkids, and we just love it. We've all got targets set up in our backyards. So the archery range is down here. We've got the professional fishermen going to be here, and we got the flying dogs.
That and was this rock climbing thing that's going to get set up here.
The rock wall will be set up.
Looks like you can try bow fishing on this boat that we were talking about. They have the hands-on bow fishing opportunity.
Oh, man. And the flying dogs, which was a big hit last year. And they start launching.
Ultimate Air Dog Show is the technical term they put on the brochure.
They start launching at about 10:30 or 11, I think, this morning. Gates open at 10. We'd love to see y'all down here. Come on down right here at Westworld.